What should be our cold open, V&A?
You can't do me like that.
There's your cold open.
No!
Yes!
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, back from Canada, Matt Step.
Reunited.
Woo! Oh, yes. They let me back in the country, Tepper. What a dad joke.
Joined by V&A Moreno, our Trepid producer.
Can I just say, South Oak Cliff defensive coordinator Kyle Ward is calling me right now.
What a weird brag.
Yeah. Hi, hey, Coach Ward.
Hey, Coach Ward. Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber, or for not doing that.
And thank you? Question mark.
And instead watching us for free on Fridays.
The real question is why?
Yeah.
Why are you not subscribed to Dave Campbell's Texas?
I don't know.
That's the real question.
It's almost playoffs. You better be subscribed.
Because this is your Week 9 preview edition of Tep and Step. Again, we thank you for being Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, we'll kind of recap Week 8, but really what we're going to do is, today's Monday. We're recording this on Monday, October
20th. It's 4:30 Central Time.
So we'll talk a little bit about Week 8, the chalkiest week of all time.
Yeah,
And then we'll talk a little bit about the news that broke today, followed by the best game draft of all time.
Well, it's the best regular season. I think it's the best regular season game draft of all time. You know, the only game draft that would come close would be like a regional final.
I was going to say, like a regional final game
draft. Yeah, the last thing, because we don't do game draft for the semifinals. We just do all the games.
So we will get to that.
Yeah.
Coming up here.
V&A got a firsthand look at how news is broken during the day by us.
Yeah. I
know. That was awesome. Yeah. I felt the tension.
Did you hear the excitement in my voice when I called Will? Yeah.
We'll talk about that breaking news, which will be, this is why you have to listen to the podcast, you have to subscribe to the podcast, because otherwise it'll be 4 days old by the time
you're talking about this. Crap about it.
But anyway, we'll start, Matthew, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented, and I'll grab the cup, by Community Coffee.
Mm-mm-mm.
Community Coffee does something about celebrating the community. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
Love the dramatic pause there.
Can I tell you the truth?
V&A is actually...
This is empty, but this is actually full of Community Coffee.
Yeah, and V&A is drinking a cup of Community Coffee right now.
So Community Coffee looks
tasty.
Thank you.
Is it pumpkin spice or just regular coffee?
It's just regular coffee.
It's good coffee, though. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. One of the many, 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 many rivalry games that we'll talk about perhaps this week.
There's a few going on.
A few, but a big one going down in Bay City. Bay City and El Campo.
Home of the Black Cats.
Home of the Black Cats. Big game.
Great mascot matchup, by the way. The Rice Birds versus the Black Cats. Do you know what a Rice Bird is, V&A?
A Rice Bird?
I don't know what a Rice Bird is.
The Birds of Rice. Anyway,
that eats rice. Know that.
Your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, Matt Stepp. They, of course, hold the mark for the most consecutive years played.
Correct.
I believe this will be the 104th or 105th consecutive.
It's 104.
104th consecutive year that they've played,
yes.
Which is wild, considering there were like two world wars. Well, one of them, at least.
No, I guess
1920 was when they first played, or like that started the consecutive streak.
World War I was done, just wrapped up by then.
Exactly.
Woodrow Wilson was just putting the finishing touches on the Versailles Treaty.
Exactly right. Matt Stepp,
Treaty of Versailles. Yeah.
Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. There's one other rivalry game that has been played for more than 100 consecutive years.
Ooh.
What is it? Because there's a lot that have been played for 100 times.
Yeah. Okay.
But 100 consecutive years.
This is a good question. I'm going to say, don't think it's Sherman Denison. I'm going to go Longview Marshall.
It's an excellent guess. It's incorrect.
Dang
I will
it.
Give you one more guess with a hint.
Okay.
You have been to this game.
Oh, man. Been to this game. Mahia Grossbeck? No, can't be Mahia. Damn it.
The answer, Harlingen and San Benito.
Oh, man. They played over 100 times?
101 consecutive games.
If you just said me and Ish had been to this game, I would have.
I know. Oh, yeah. I didn't want to give it full.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I've
been to two Harlingen and San Benito games. I've been twice.
The Battle of the Arroyo. Mm-hmm. There it is. The only two. Coming up soon, New Braunfels-Seguin started in 1927.
Okay.
Dennis and Sherman started in 1931, so they got a little bit to go. And then Longview-Marshall, 1933. So they got a few. Okay. They're at 90 in count.
Harlingen-San Benito, I had a Coast Guard. There was a Coast Guard flyover at a high school football game. That's how big Harlingen. And then the first time I went, there was fireworks at halftime.
Yeah. There it is, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. All right, Matthew, let's talk a little bit about Week 8 briefly. okay. Because we were doing the rankings. You and I were starting the process of the rankings. And a funny thing happened halfway through the rankings. I think both of us looked up and we were like,
everybody won.
Dude. So I looked, it was the ranked teams went 112-3 last week. And the three losses were Katy beating Katy Jordan,
which was ranked versus ranked.
Not an upset.
Mm-hmm.
It was Amherst losing to Whit Harrell in 1A Division 2, which was number 9 losing to what is now number 10 in the state.
Okay.
So barely an upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then San Antonio Holy Cross beat Dallas First Baptist. That was 1-3 in our private school ranks. Mm-hmm. Two teams combined dropped out of our rankings, out of 135 rankings.
It was big chalk.
Very chalky. The only real, like, there were some close calls. Atascocita most notably about them.
Hey, humble Kingwood. That's why you should read my hipster picks article preseason. Mm-hmm. I put Kingwood down as a hipster pick preseason. I think they had a great shot to get fourth place.
Over CD King?
Yes.
They played them this week, right?
I think so. And they gave Kingwood played North Shore. North Shore was dominant. They won 49-21, but it was 19-7 at the half. Mm-hmm. Like, Kingwood has played.
Kingwood can hang.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. They give Atascocita everything they can handle. I mean, Gilmer got a push from Van, but I don't think that's necessarily surprising. Van
kind of rallied late.
And Van plays them tough every year.
They do. It was 28-7 at the half, and then Van made it close late. How about my game Friday night? Sorry, V&A.
Yeah.
Late Dallas and Frisco. I think I had the game of the night in the state Friday night.
I think you did.
What?
I mean, four overtimes. Credit to Late Dallas. They were down 31-6 in the third quarter, and we thought they were dead to the water. And they fought all the way back and, you know, could have won it. You know, it went to, went to four overtimes. We get dueling two-point conversions, but you know, it was a great ball game. I think Late Dallas still has a shot to get in the playoffs, but now they're going to have to beat Auburn. That district's just brutal. There's six good teams in that district.
Speaking of Frisco teams and probably out of the playoffs, it might be Jover for Frisco Emerson.
They're in rough shape because they got to beat Melissa and then hope to get some help.
And the thing is about it, because we talked about it last week, you called it their last stand. They didn't just lose to Lovejoy. They got bodied by Lovejoy.
Yeah.
Now, Lovejoy, again, is playing good ball right now. I don't want to run into them right now.
Lovejoy, the favorite in Region 1 right now? I mean, them and Argyle?
Them Argyle and Cooper. That's the three.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they're playing, like, the arrow's pointed way up on them right now. But, I mean, otherwise, I hate to be like this, but, like, we kind of talked about Week 8, a little bit of a rough slate of games.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you have a rough slate of games or, like, a lackluster slate of games, you get big surprises. We just didn't. We just kind of had a lackluster slate of games.
One game that I talked about that I think it's a classic the score is deceiving game was Columbus and Yoakum.
Yeah,
I was doing some research for this week's Columbus-Hitchcock game, and Columbus led that game 42-0 in the second quarter.
Oh my gosh.
The final score is 56-38.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it, you're like, oh man, Columbus struggled with Yoakum. It was 42-0 in the second quarter.
Yeah, held them at arm's length. Yeah. Now they have been, I will say they've been touched up a little bit defensively at times.
Sure.
I just wonder again how much of it is just garbage time.
Agree.
Okay. So I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say about week 8?
Nah, week 8, chalk. Let's move on to the good stuff.
Let's get to the news of the day first. News of the day, the drama here, and that is that you reported first on and exclusively on TexasFootball.com.
That's right.
That
Ba-ba-ba.
Palestine Westwood will be forfeiting, have been ordered by the DEC to forfeit all of their district games,
mm-hmm.
past and future for 2024, and Coach Richard Bishop and another person associated
district employee
have been suspended for the remainder of the season due to, essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, they were videotaping opponent signals? Is that what's going on here? Is it a true Connor Stallion situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That basically, the accusations are that, that there was videotape of signals. And it kind of lines up. Westwood was playing games on Thursday nights a couple times, and they were out scouting on Friday night. Apparently, they got caught allegedly. You know, I guess, well, technically, I guess the DEC feels like it was, there was enough evidence there to to rule on that. Now, the DEC has recommended the suspension for Coach Bishop and the district employee. The UIL is the only one that can actually execute that suspension. Mm-hmm. They just made a recommendation to the state executive committee.
Got it.
However, the forfeits are the DEC's discretion.
That is their purview.
Now, Westwood's going to appeal. There's no question about it. They're going to appeal the ruling to the UIL, and I think they're probably going to really focus on the district forfeits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's sad for the kids.
It is sad for the
kids. You know, and I, honestly, I don't think Palestine Westwood really needed to do that.
No.
They're better than everybody in their district. They're really, really good, and it's you know, it's, if the ruling holds, it's going to be really sad to not see them in the playoffs because they are that talented.
We've run into this a couple of other times. I think we ran into it, was it Alto, where it was another situation with coaching or recruiting where there have been violations that have happened. And we hear this all the time of, this sucks. Like, why would you punish the kids? And I want to be clear, like, I get that. Like, absolutely. I think you're well within your rights to feel that way. I think that's a natural way to feel. That does suck for the kids, and my heart hurts for the kids.
Yes.
It hurts for the player. But at the same time, I'll just say this. One of the lessons of football is teamwork, and everyone has to pull their weight, whether you are the backup center or you're the head coach, and you can be let down by anyone on your team. In the same way, I'm the managing editor of the magazine, right? If a typo goes in there that you put in or I put in, it doesn't matter. It's still a reflection of the entire team.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? And so, to me, when I look at that, I am super sympathetic to the players. It does suck. Agreed. But there is also the idea of, this is part of being on a team and everyone has to pull their rope in the same direction. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, the head of the team, or you're the quote, or the water boy.
Yeah, no, I mean, makes total sense. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, this is not over.
Mm-hmm.
Westwood actually did their superintendent just had a press release that they are appealing the decision. So now we'll wait and see what the state executive committee decides.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Usually, the state executive committee will act relatively swiftly on issues like this.
Yes,
like,
because of the playoffs pending.
Because basically, you have to presume, I think right now, if you're Westwood and whatever interim coach is, well, I guess technically he's not suspended because the UIL has to enforce it.
Correct.
So Coach Bishop can coach this weekend against TIG.
That is correct.
If, like, I presume you have to go out there and tell your guys, look, we have to work under the assumption that this is going to get overturned.
Yeah, we're going
to
win this appeal.
And this district, we can play for a district championship.
Correct. Plus, yeah.
And everything's still out in front of
and
us.
Even, or you have to work on the assumption that, let's say that the UIL says, okay, the two games that have already been played, you're forfeiting those.
Correct.
You still have three games left to play. You win those three games, you're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you have to at least work under that assumption for now. So, yeah, it's an odd situation to be in, obviously, with a lot, it's a cloud hanging over the program right now. My hope is the UIL State Executive Committee will meet quickly.
Yes.
And let's get a decision. Let's get a final ruling on this, so we're not, because that way everybody who's involved can move forward.
Yeah, get resolved.
Yep.
So, of course, follow TexasFootball.com. We'll have everything you need to know about the situation at Palestine Westwood. Okay, Matthew, it is now time for our Week 9 game draft. This is your first episode of Tep and Step. Welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in this week. That is the important phrase here, because hypothetically last week you could have chosen
Austin 49 over Austin Aikens 7.
Big win for the Maroons.
That's right.
The Maroons. And this week, hypothetically, you could select
Banchetti versus Monte Alto.
You could. If you want to go Blue Devils versus Bulldogs.
That's correct.
Bang, let's
Banchetti, home of Corbett Smith.
That's right. Corbs is a
Banchetti alum. Yeah.
That's right. Anyway.
And Fletcher.
Fletcher
Whiteley.
Fletcher Whiteley's from Banchetti?
They're both from Banchetti, yeah. Yeah.
No. No way. Mm-hmm. How do we know two people from being kept?
I don't know.
Anyway, you could select any game. All you got to do is sell it on it. Sell us on it. We'll go five rounds back and forth. Then we'll have our hipster game of the week, which is a game off the radar that you may need to pay attention to for whatever reason. Then we will hear where Step is going and where I'm going. And we will hear from V&A, our producer, to see what she's writing down. She's already hard at work. Pot right. A moment. Matt Step, holy crap, week nine.
It's crazy. It's
this. I said it on TFT. And I said it on the picks video as well. This is the biggest week of regular season Texas high school football that I can remember in 14 years of doing this.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I think all of the games we picked, the 10 games we picked, could all most weeks be a number one pick.
I think you're right. I was
that deep of a week.
I was putting together the picks video, and it was just a shocking number of games. Like, there are legit certified heaters that will not be drafted, like that we won't have room for because we only have 10 games. Like, it is a shocking week of games, and for a variety of different reasons, it feels like every class and also like every region, with the exception of, and I talked with Larissa Liska about this down there in Corpus, it's kind of slow in Corpus. And it's kind of slow in San Antonio, right? Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, there is at least one enormous matchup across the state of Texas. I will say, this is me, the epicenter, it feels like, Southeast Texas.
Yeah, Southeast Texas, Houston area.
That area is the epicenter of the Week 9 earthquake.
Is there kind of a big game in West Texas this year? I mean, I know Panhandle's got some big... Is there anything in...
Holly Cisco.
Yeah, Holly Cisco.
I know the records aren't great. Dude, you have Permian Legacy this week.
Yeah.
Like Permian formerly league.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the rivalry you love. And that game always has a crazy ending. So, it's crazy. Dude.
It is a ludicrous week of games. I'm so excited. Which means we had a coin flip for the show. Step won the coin flip.
Yes.
Which means he gets picked 1-1 of... Just the most, the greatest board of all time. Like, you get your first.
This is almost a little overwhelming.
The buffet. This is like, okay. And you went to Vegas recently. Are you a Vegas buffet guy?
Yes.
Have you done it?
I do the buffet. I do at least once. Okay. I'm there. I go once.
Like,
I went to.
Have you done like the super nice ones?
Yeah, I've been to Caesars and.
So the one at Caesars, I think the one at Venetian's really good too, I would say.
Yeah.
And like, I remember.
I went to Bellagio this time though.
And it was just like, hey, would you like all the crab legs you can eat? That's what this week is.
Mm-hmm.
Is everything you could possibly want.
I did Bellagio breakfast buffet last time.
Oh. Awesome.
Yes.
Oh, anyway, Matt Stepp.
Highly recommend.
I legit. So I have five games that are ranked as legit 1-1s. Mm-hmm. Like legit 1-1s. And I have no idea where you're going to go.
Okay. It's a little overwhelming. There's so many good games on the board.
Oh my God. Please, please, please.
Let's go. Friday night, 7 o'clock.
La Jolla and Edinburgh North.
Indian Stadium in Port Neches. Live on TexanLive.com.
Let's go. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. It is a stupid week on Texan Live,
too. It's great.
Like, it's an out-of-control week.
If you're not at a game, get your butt to Texan Live. And if you are at a game, watch the games later on Texan Live.
Go on.
It's Mid-County Madness. It's unbelievable. It's one of the state's best rivalries. For a lot of people's money's worth, it's the best rivalry in Texas. It's Monday, 4:30, and it's already sold out.
It got voted... by Sports Illustrated as like the number one rivalry in America.
It's unbelievable, and I've been to it, and it's great. The time that I went, a bottle rocket got shot across the field into the band of PNG by the PNG by the New Orleans student section. So
it's Port Neches Groves in New Orleans.
It's just wild. So, and there's a lot on the line here. New Orleans has surprised most under first year head coach Scott Rich. 4-0 in district, 6-1 overall. This is for first place in District 8-5A Division 2.
Do you remember back in the offseason we were talking about when Scott Rich got hired? Mm-hmm. And it's like, now you have a Gary Joseph disciple at both.
Yes.
Nederland and TNG.
And it's almost like Nederland was like, okay, you can get a KD assistant. We're going to get a KD.
Exactly
assistant.
Right.
We just didn't hire someone from Gary Joseph's loins. I mean, literally.
Oh, no, it's...
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, am I not a factual journalist?
You are a capital J journalist, my man.
Thank you. So, other than that, they basically mirrored what PNG did. Did you ever hear that on Tap Tap?
Please don't. God almighty.
Yeah, so... Where were we? Look, Nederland... Coach Rich has done a heck of a job in Nederland this year.
They were kind of down bad.
They were struggling. The program was in bad shape, and there's energy around the program. And I think there's a real belief that Nederland can win this game. And listen, this rivalry game, crazy stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
PNG's got a 22-game winning streak. They find ways to win close games. They just find a way to get it done. But this rivalry, I could see Nederland turning the tables here.
Mm-hmm.
Hubert Thomas had a monster game last week in Nederland's win over Lake Creek. That last week was really the because we were kind of, Nederland had kind of played the softer part of their district schedule to open the year. We're like, okay, let's see what Nederland does against a playoff contender. Well, last week they did it. Lake Creek was playing for their playoff lives last week, and Nederland knocked them off. Mm-hmm. Hubert Thomas had four touchdown runs, over 200.
Yeah, I was going to say 220 or something, running the ball.
Yeah, over 200 yards. And one of them was a 90-yard touchdown run, had a huge game. And you watch Nederland, and it looks like KD. They are in the I formation. They are running lead. They're running counter, and they're play action and going over the top. Nederland's defense chipped in, got a defensive touchdown. They held that really dynamic Lake Creek offense in check.
That Aiden Sunday, their quarterback, he's a ball player too.
He's operating that offense.
Absolutely.
He's an operator of that system. And you watch Nederland, and other than being black and gold, it looks like KD. You know, the style and the way they play is KD football. And then you got PNG, one of the state's longest winning streaks. They've kind of, the first 2 weeks of district were you know, nail-biting time for PNG. They beat Lake Creek by 6.
That's a way to say it.
Yeah. They beat Huntsville by 3. They need Huntsville's kicking a field goal to tie the game, and it hit the upright. And they've kind of escaped by the skin of their teeth. The last 2 weeks has been dominant PNG football. Now, granted, against some of the lower teams in district, last week they beat West Fork 37-0. And honestly, it probably could have been a lot worse. Yeah. West Fork's a new school. They're young. They're struggling. PNG's loaded. And offensively, PNG is it's really weird to say that now, because PNG for the last couple of years have been known as a really tough defensive team, kind of grinded out offense. And now, you know,
Connor Bailey
at quarterback.
He's taking that step.
London Nunley, a receiver. They got two really good running backs in Tyson Henry and Blair Chetanye. Yeah, there you go. That's a Southeast Texas name right there, Chetanye. Mm-hmm. And that big offensive line led by Jackson Christian. PNG's an offensive juggernaut. Defense,
it's been touched up.
They have been. And they're probably not, and I think most PNG fans would agree, the defense this year is not as strong as it has been, right?
That's a high bar. To be clear,
it's a very high bar. They, you know, it was like with, you know, what you talk about with South Oak Cliff 2 years ago, you know, just staying in 5A Division II. That elite group that graduated in 2022, the defense last year was going to take a step back. You don't have that group leave and not take a step back. PNG's taking a step back defensively. They're still very good, but I think they're just as good as a team because their offense has taken a step, or I think their offense might be two steps better than what it was last year. So but the defense is starting to round into form. They pitched a shutout last week. The week before, they only allowed 14 points. But this is the big test against a playoff team in Nederland. Big game. This is the true test for PNG to see where the defense stands. I think PNG is going to move the ball in Nederland. I don't have any doubts about that. And I think the defense is the key in this one. If PNG's defense plays just a good game, they're going to have enough to win. I don't think Nederland can keep up with PNG, especially on the road. I think that's the difference here. PNG's is too dynamic on offense. Hubert Thomas is a great player. Nederland's offense is going to do some things, but I don't think they have enough firepower to keep up with PNG's firepower. That's why I like PNG at home. But I wouldn't be shocked if Nederland won, just because it's the rivalry aspect. And remember, if Nederland wins this game and PNG somehow finishes second in district, round two, sock PNG.
Area round.
If
state championship rematch in the area.
Correct.
I'll say this. The more I think about this game, I think Nederland actually matches up pretty well with PNG. Like, just stylistically, like, they match up fairly well. This comes down to two things for me. One, I think you're right. P&G, we've got to have the P&G that has played defense the last 3 weeks and not what they did against Lake Creek. If they play like they did against Lake Creek, nearly could beat them. But P&G's defense got to step up, and I trust Jeff Joseph in a big game.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is just that. The atmosphere there is, it's a different animal. It's a different game than any game you've ever played before. And P&G has been there. They've done that. They've played on the biggest stage. They're going to be cool under, they're going to be cool under pressure. We know that. Can Nederland match that kind of level of cool and not let the moment get to them? That's why I think the big game experience may be the difference in what it feels like. It could be a pretty evenly matched ball game just from a stylistic matchup perspective. It's a fabulous game. P&G, it's going to be the most, it's an asylum. It's going to be,
oh yeah,
it's unbelievable.
A crazy atmosphere.
Crazy atmosphere.
Whatever's calling that game.
I know what you call it.
You're okay.
I'm not gonna call it. I wish I could.
You get,
but they have me.
Trevor Bulls or somebody.
I know. Calls. Anyway, P&G Nederland, an excellent choice. Boy, now the second pick. Ooh, where do I go? 7 o'clock, Friday night, at Bulldog Stadium in Hitchcock. It is a 3A Division I game we have had circled since the very beginning of the season, as the Hitchcock Bulldogs welcome in the number one ranked Columbus Cardinals in a matchup of the two, the number one and number two in our computer rankings. Mm-hmm. Do you know the computer has Hitchcock by two?
Yeah, I mean, Hitchcock, the resume is strong. Wins over Hampshire Finette, Silsby,
uh-huh,
in Belleville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Columbus has wins
over Cuero,
Needville. Some of Columbus's wins haven't aged real well. That's the problem.
That's part of the issue. Okay. Hitchcock took it. I think it's important to remember that when Hitchcock took that one, that loss to, like, it was what, Spring Legacy School of Sports and Sciences?
Yeah. Yeah.
That we were ready to be like panicking. And then you remember the next week, their defense, they played, who did they play in week two? They won, but they got kind of lit up a little bit.
Was it a Hampshire Finette week?
It might have been Hampshire Finette. They got beat up on the defensive side.
And they scored 71 in that game.
They won 71-48. Yeah. So through two games, they were allowing more, like 44 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, uh-oh, like, is it going to matter, all this firepower they've got offensively? Mm-hmm. Messed up since then. They've given up 31 points in five games. The defense has rounded in form. And by the way, it's not like the schedule lightened up. That's when they beat Belleville and Silsby,
yep,
and then they beat Hallettsville, who I know is struggling a little bit, but they shut them out.
The Belleville game was the one that said, okay, Hitchcock's for real. You hold Belleville to 14 points, you're doing something.
Impressive stuff. And also, by the way, the offense has still been cooking. Lloyd Jones III, Kelshawn Johnson, they're loaded offensively. They are explosive. And if that defense is going to play like that, they can beat anyone. And I mean anyone.
The big key has been the addition of Malcolm Simpson on the defensive line. He's changed their defense.
Yep.
You know, the Nebraska commit coming over from Galveston Ball, he's been such a huge addition for their defense. He's made their defense formidable and has really, it's just made them a different football team.
Well, here comes the test for the defense, mm-hmm, against the number one scoring offense in Texas. Any classification is the Columbus Cardinals. 58.7 points per game. Adam Schoble. We talk about Grayson Rigdon. Bro, Braylon Fisher.
Sophomore receivers. Yeah, Columbus is just a flamethrower on offense. Just listening to the broadcast of the game against Yoakum last week, the Yoakum announcers are just like, some of the throws Schoble's making just.
What do you even do?
One comment was that was an NFL. He's making NFL type throws in this. You know,
absolutely. And all of the weaponry they've got there has been excellent. Now, there is the question about the defense, and the defense has. I will say this about them, is that the offense has been so good that the defense has basically never been put in a point where they need to make a stop. You give up a touchdown, it's okay, we're just going to get it right back, mm-hmm, right? The defense is giving up 26 points a game. Some of that is window dressing, at least some of it. But they're giving up 26 points a game. And I will say this. If it gets shootouty, if we start getting out the firepower, mm-hmm. and we just start going back and forth, Hitchcock can hang.
Yeah.
And I think
Hitchcock's got their own Division I quarterback. And
I think that this might be the first time, respect to Cuero, which has figured it out since then, I think in large part because they figured out their quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that Columbus will face a team that if they want to get into just throw handbags at each other.
Yeah. Hitchcock's, we'll go. Hitchcock,
they can do it.
Yeah, they can go.
In the end, for me, Columbus has got too much offense. And I think they'll find a way through.
I think the key is Columbus's offensive line.
I agree.
They are so good. And they're not going to get talked about because of all the skill talent. They are so good. And I think I trust them to move. I think I trust the trench play for Columbus and the offensive side of the ball. And I trust Columbus's defense to find a way to get a stop or two.
I agree.
I think the biggest thing is going to be
a tough, but I'll tell you, going to Hitchcock is not.
No, they did it last year.
Not easy.
It's a different ball. Last year, Columbus did it because they were more physical on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And Tyvon Whitehead just went off.
Correct.
A little different this year. They still, you know, Grayson Rigdon can still go off. Mm-hmm. But I think the key for Columbus is when you're playing Lloyd Jones is Belleville did not do this. They let Lloyd Jones get out of the pocket and kind of get out to the tackles and freelance, and he's hard to stop. Mm-hmm. You got to keep Lloyd, if you're going to choose your poison with Lloyd Jones, keep him in the pocket and make him a passer.
You have to make him a true just like
pocket
stand
passer.
Up pocket.
Don't let him get out of the pocket. If he gets out of the pocket, your defense is in a bind at that point because he's so athletic he can pull it down and run.
I think it's a fabulous game. I like Columbus in a close one. And I may go so far as to say the winner of this game is my favorite in 3-81.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think if Columbus wins this game, I'm ready to anoint them as the team to beat. Respect to Malakoff. But the way they're rolling right now, if they do that, and if Hitchcock wins it, like, we got to have a real conversation about what 3-81 looks like.
Yeah. At that point, yeah.
And also, let's also not overlook the fact, might be the first two meetings.
Could be. I think Franklin will have something to say about that for sure. Franklin's kind of lurking, you know, like nobody's talking about him because they lost a couple of games in non-district, but, you know, Franklin's
there
too. They're
starting to get rolling.
They are.
Anyway, I'm taking Columbus and Hitchcock. What's your third pick? What's your second pick? Let's see. Third overall.
I can't believe this is the number three pick.
I know.
It's crazy. 7 o'clock. This Friday night?
Better double check.
Yep, 7 o'clock Friday night at Turner Stadium in Humble.
If you didn't take this one off.
Live on TexanLive.com. Mm-hmm. The North Shore Mustangs, number 2 in the state in 6A, visit number 4 in the state in 6A, Humble Atascocita, the alma mater of one Gavin Moritz.
This is,
7-0 versus 7-0.
It's the biggest game in Houston this year.
It's the biggest, to me, it's, right now, it's the best rivalry in Houston, which is weird to say. When one team's dominated so much, but it's must-see TV in the Houston area.
This is the thing about it. All of the things we talked about with Duncanville DeSoto a couple weeks ago, this is the Houston version of that.
Yeah.
Like, in every way.
Yes.
From a star power perspective, from a team that has recently dominated the series perspective, too.
Pretty much, North Shore's won the last 8 meetings, and they've eliminated Atascocita from the playoffs 3 straight years. So it's been domination for North Shore. And last week they take on Channelview at home 55-6. You know, and we know the names for North Shore. On offense, it's Deion DeBlanc, it's Quanell Farrakhan, it's Caleb Bailey, it's DeAndre Hardiman. They're loaded. They are offensive line is veteran and experienced. They've even got depth at quarterback. Caleb Maryland is a really good Division I prospect at quarterback, and he's the backup quarterback for North Shore. Loaded. I think where North Shore's taking that next step as a team this year, and what makes me think they are closer to 2018, 2019, is their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple of years, the defense has been a little more shaky. This year, they're dominant. They are playing outstanding. Oh, and their secondary, I mean, you got Devin Sanchez on one side. And, oh, by the way, you know, Ohio State commit, the 5-star corner, number 1 corner in the state. And then the other side, you got an Arkansas commit in Nigel Pringle.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a guy at linebacker in Charles Ross who's committed to LSU who runs like a 10-2 in the 100.
He's an animal.
Like, their defense.
He's an
animal.
Their defensive line is almost intact from last year. They're starting to, those guys are starting to get looks. North Shore's defense has been what, to me, has made them a much more complete team this year versus last year. So a lot to say about the Channelview win. North Shore really hasn't been challenged this year. The Crowley game was a weirdo game. You know, I watched a good portion of that game. They looked like they were sleepwalking through it. Mm-hmm. And that's not to take anything away from Crowley. I think North Shore's a lot better football team than Crowley. They 5-hour road trip. Caleb Bailey had the worst game of his life. And it was still 28-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, still.
So holding their arms. Like,
yeah, North Shore still had an arms, like, and they played terrible. Every other game, North Shore's been sharp and looked really, really good. Then you got Atascocita. And up until last week, I think everybody was like, this is Atascocita's year. They've beaten Katy. They've beaten Westlake. They beat Summer Creek. But there's been some cracks in the armor the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Starting with the second half of the Summer Creek game, when they almost blew a giant lead, and they had to score late to come back. They had to come back to win after being down 35-7 at the half. And then last week against Humble Kingwood. And Humble mm-hmm. Kingwood's a good team. Like I said, they're a good ball club. But Atascocita needed a late stop. I think Kingwood went for two at the end in the win. And they needed Torrey Blaylock to put the cape on last week. Blaylock had two rushing touchdowns, a receiving touchdown, and had a kickoff return for a touchdown. So he put Atascocita on his back in this game to pull out that 42-41 win. And they needed every bit of Blaylock's heroics in that game. But Atascocita, what's more concerning is their defense. They struggled to get stops against Kingwood. And that's 2 weeks. That's six quarters of the last 10 that, you know, if you take the last three, you know, the second half of the Summer Creek game, I don't look at the Humble game, they dominated as they should. And then and this game, they've struggled on defense.
Can I tell you something?
Yep.
They gave up 8.1 yards per snap against Kingwood.
That's a giant red flag.
That is very concerning.
Because let me tell you, North Shore,
Say what you want. I mean, look, I've got a lot of respect for Kingwood. What you've said at the top. They're a good team. They are the fourth or fifth best team in the best district in Texas.
Correct.
Right?
But you plop Kingwood down in most other districts in Houston or the state in their first or second place.
Absolutely.
They're a good ball club.
They give up 262 yards passing to a sophomore quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Bailey ain't no sophomore quarterback.
No. Here's my only. I'm going out on a limb here. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Atascocita for the upset.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to play bad 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
I think they've had this one circled.
You think we had a look ahead letdown last week?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. And I think Carday Mack puts the cape. I think it's Carday Mack time this week. I think he's the X factor. He has a big game. I think Atascocita pulls it off. Now, could be the first of two meetings. Not saying I would pick Atascocita in a playoff game over North Shore. But at home, it's already sold out. Atascocita, it's going to be a sellout again. I imagine North Shore is going to bring the house. North Shore travels pretty well. Mm-hmm. Atascocita sold out. I saw Josh Koch's tweet. They've already sold out. Atascocita sold out their side already. So if you're an Atascocita fan and you want to go to the game, you're either going to sit on the North Shore side or you got to watch it on Texan Live. I think Atascocita gets it done. I think I'm just playing the odds here. It's streak. Everything worked. I think they're too good to lose nine in a row to North Shore. I think Atascocita gets one. Plus, I picked against them against Westlake, Katy, and Summer Creek. I picked against them again.
If this was literally 72 hours ago, I think I'd agree.
Yeah,
I was ready.
You spooked by the Kingwood game?
So spooked.
Okay, fair.
I'm
fair.
So spooked.
It's a valid concern.
Here is the reason. If you, I'm not saying they're going to blow them out. But if you want to pick Atascocita, Caleb Bailey's been a little loose with the football this year.
Mm-hmm.
Been a little loose with the football, and you need to pounce on that. But this Atascocita defense, mm-hmm. they're also good. God, this Atascocita defense, I wonder if they're getting worn down. I wonder if that's what's happening. Is that like, they played Katy, they played Westlake, and they played Summer Creek.
And Atascocita's offense is such a big play offense. Mm-hmm. They break such Atascocita will bust out a one play drive.
They'll have a 19 second drive on.
Yeah, and then their defense is back out there.
Absolutely,
that's fair. That's not a concern because you love long touchdown runs, but Defense is out there a lot.
The other thing about it, and this is a real question for Tuscaceta. Let's say they get down in this game, and it's like 21-7.
Here we go again.
Is there a little bit on the sideline? I'm like, oh man, golly, it's North Shore again.
Yeah,
I think Tuscaceta's got to start fast.
They started fast in the last playoff game last year. They were up, mm-hmm. I think, 14-0.
I mean, flip a coin.
Yeah.
Flip a coin. These are two elite teams. But for me, I think I'm a little scared about what we saw in the Kingwood game. I'm going with North Shore and the streak. Eight wins.
Here's
seven calendar years.
Let me just throw out a hypothetical ranking question for you here.
Uh-huh.
Let's give a little peek into this is the kind of stuff that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say North Shore blows Atascocita out. Just blows their doors off, okay? Tascosita 7-1. Summer Creek takes care of their business this week. Summer Creek 7-1, but Atascosita has a head-to-head win over Summer Creek.
Yeah.
Do you drop Atascosita below Summer Creek because they got their doors blown off on North Shore? Or do you keep them ahead in Summer Creek?
Maybe temporarily they have to be behind them.
Yeah.
Just because of like the
Summer Creek still has to play North Shore.
But like Atascosita would also have the stronger resume though.
Yeah.
Because they still have the win over Katy and over West. Like those things happen.
Yeah. So these are the kind of conversations we have on Sunday is when we're talking rankings. So,
brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. Do you vault North Shore to number one?
Good question.
I guess we'll have to find out. Let's see what
our happens. Our job is hard.
Feel bad for us.
Yes.
Good pick. My second pick, Matthew. 7 o'clock.
Second pick?
My second pick. It was game 4 of 10. My second pick.
Could be a long episode, V.
I'm still over here. Like, you're over there eating the crab legs. I'm going to go over to the carving station.
Okay.
What a
7 o'clock Friday night at Bobcat Stadium in Sunray.
your guy's playing in this game.
It's the District 1.
The Dudes Rock.
This is, again, another Dudes Rock Bowl. As the undefeated Sunray Bobcats welcome in the undefeated Panhandle Panthers in a matchup that it's really the first time we'll be able to start sorting Region 1 of 2A Division 1. Because these teams, all the teams that are there, right? Stamford, Hawley, these two teams, they all have been circling each other. They haven't played one another. This is the first head-to-head of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
As Sunray and Panhandle play one another. This game rocks. Mm-hmm. It's a matchup of unbeatens. I think, the more I think about it, this is the real test for Panhandle. Sunray's been tested. Sunray's played Albany, right? They beat Canadian. But they had one other win. Was it over Stratford? Over Stratford. They've played like state-ranked big-time opponents. Panhandle's best win right now.
Stratford, probably, also.
Yeah, they beat Stratford, so they do have the single head-to-head. I think the strength of schedule right now would probably benefit. I mean, they got the win over Wellington, which is a nice one, too. But the strength of schedule would probably benefit Sunray in this one. Let's talk about Panhandle. So we've talked a lot about Sunray. Panhandle, I think, is actually very similar in the way we talk about teams to Sunray in the sense that it is easy to get lost with the quarterback. That Broxton Robinson, another Dude's Rock,
mm-hmm.
He's coming to the banquet. Okay.
Yes. I got to watch Broxton Robinson in person last year, that crazy pain, that first round playoff game.
It was like 73, whatever.
Yeah. And he had 10 touchdowns in that game.
He's a monster. Yeah. They're averaging 50 points a game. He's been spectacular for them. And he's also a star on the defensive side. But much like we talked with Sunray, Panhandle is a complete team, I think. I think their defense is woefully underrated. And guys like Bryson Choate leading the way on the defensive side, they're strong defensively. They're not nothing defensively. Mm-hmm. They're not just like, I think you think like, awesome quarterback, we'll figure things out on the defensive side. No. They're really good defensively. Well, here's Sunray. Sunray's undefeated. They've got Armando Luan. We've gone on and on about Armando Luan. He's closing in on a million state records.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also, I think, again, the real headline here is that they are a team whose defense is woefully underrated. Mm-hmm. That what they've been able to do defensively
has been, I think, under the radar. Ty McDowell has kind of led the way for them defensively. And also, we mentioned this last time, I think that they are starting to run the ball a little bit more. Like Arnold Mendoza, they're starting to get some running game going. It's not all Luan out there. The offense has some diversity. These are two complete teams. I'm sure of it. I like Sunray for two reasons.
Okay. I do too, by the way.
One, they're at home. Mm-hmm. And that ain't nothing. Being at home, that's a big help. Two, that win over Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Panhandle has played an offense the caliber they're going to face against Sunray. I am fairly certain that Sunray has faced an offense about the caliber they're going to face when Panhandle, and that's Canadian.
Yeah.
That Canadian win is the real canary in the coal mine for me. And I think that's the difference. I like Sunray. I think it may actually be similar to the Canadian game, like a game where 30 points wins the game. I don't know if it's going to be a wild shootout. I think you're going to look at the quarterbacks and think like, oh, they're going to get up and down. And maybe they will. Panhandle will do that to you.
Sure. Panhandle will get into a shootout. They'll go blow for blow with
you. But if you were to ask me whose defense I trust a little bit more, I would say it's Sunrise, especially at home. I think they get the edge in that one.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Why was that first game at Stratford canceled?
It wasn't. That's a glitch on the site.
Never mind.
It's a typo. Edit this on the podcast. Don't edit it on the podcast.
It's a glitch.
Anyway, big game, Sunray, Panhandle, big time doing it's a Panhandle. And the Panhandle of America. And Panhandle.
Oh, I see the other game.
That's not helpful. Panhandle.
They played week three.
That by the way, if you're ever sorting by region, the name you will shake your fist at the Panhandle Panthers because it's just hard. You're like, no, I don't. I'm looking for Amarillo.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what is your third pick, Matthew?
Let's go. That's weird. As a third pick, but let's go to Austin, 7 o'clock Friday night, Cavalier Stadium.
It's a ludicrous week, guys.
Live on TexanLive.com.
By the way, there's still six heaters on the board.
Yeah,
after this.
And it's the Battle of the Lakes, mm-hmm. Austin Westlake at Lake Travis, and once again it is the showdown for supremacy in the capital city. Always draws a bunch of attention statewide. It's the game of record in the Austin area.
Can I tell you what's amazing about this is that for all the rivalries we'll talk about this week, this is the 20th time they've ever played.
Because Westlake's been a lot bigger than Lake Travis.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, it's been.
They don't play each other.
Yeah.
Or haven't historically.
Yeah. And so now Westlake's, this is kind of one of those rivalries where for a long time, Lake Travis, from about 2010 to 2017, this was Lake Travis's series. They dominated. They didn't play a lot when Lake Travis was going on their run of drive for five and all that. They didn't play a ton. When they started playing, Lake Travis got, recently Lake Travis had the edge. But since 2017, it's been Westlake series. Mm-hmm. Six of the last seven meetings have gone to Westlake. Westlake beat him twice last year. Both, which is weird to say because these two teams are known for being quarterback factories and offensive dynamos.
Mm-hmm.
Both meetings last year were close games. I think Westlake won 20-14 and 21-14. Like they were low scoring, kind of slugfest type games. They won them both. Since losing to Atascocita a couple weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, Westlake's been on a roll. They've won four straight games, and the defense, shocking, Tony Salazar-led defense playing well. Westlake's allowed just 23 points in the last 4 weeks of the season. They've been outstanding. Quarterback Reese Wise has been really good. Their offense is balanced. They don't have – Wise is the star of the offense. They really don't have – offensively a guy that you just go, man, I gotta take that guy away. They're kind of balanced.
You know what's interesting to me about this game is that like this feels like a throwback game in that like both teams have like superstar quarterbacks, and while obviously they've all had good quarterbacks throughout the course of the years, this feels like a throwback to when it's like, oh, those are the headliners on the offense.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It hasn't always been that way, but it is this year.
And you go to Lake Travis, and I last night I pulled up the game on Texan Live, watched a good portion of the Dripping Spring before it got ugly. Watched the first half, Bailey, because it was over at halftime. That was a pretty impressive performance from Lake Travis. They beat Dripping Springs 49-14. That's a good Dripping Springs team, and Lake Travis dominated. Chastain did the East Carolina committed quarterback, which he maybe, you know, East Carolina went through a coaching mm-hmm. change recently, but had two scores, threw two touchdown passes, solid. He's a great dual threat quarterback. He runs that offense well. Lake Travis offensively has made really nice strides. I think two things have really impressed me with Lake Travis. Their defense has been great. They are really, really good defensively. Hank Carter's unit is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
They can go blow that defensively. They're right there with Westlake. I mean, they are elite. What I've been impressed with Lake Travis is the running game. Van Hopping has been outstanding.
He's a dude.
He gives them such a different element and is such a game changer for them. He had a big game. He had two touchdown runs last week. The balance that him and Chastain Ditta provide on offense mm-hmm. with the running game, and then Ditta being able to distribute the ball to a bunch of talented young receivers. I'm going upset here. It's a slight upset. It's mm-hmm. in Lake Travis. I think at home, they're ranked higher, but I think most people are going to pick the name mm-hmm. the Westlake team has been dominating the series. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I think Lake Travis gets it done.
You mentioned Van Hopping. He is a perfect example of a guy who is not their... I don't think he's their most talented player, but he is their most important player.
That's a great... Yep.
He is their most important, and he's their most vital player to what they do. Because I think that's the name of the game.
It is.
If Westlake can contain the running game and make... It's strange to say this about Lake Travis. Make Lake Travis beat you through the air.
Of course. That's what everyone says about Lake Travis.
Then you're probably sitting in a good position. That's a real thing. The other thing about this, how does the Lake Travis front, which is good and quick but not huge, mm-hmm. how do they match up with a Westlake offensive line that is huge? Like, it's a massive offensive line.
It is.
They're going to be road graders out there. That's a real question. Can they pressure Reese Wise? A fantastic matchup. I'm picking Westlake. Sure. I like Westlake in this one. You can watch this game live on Dave Campbell's Texan Live. And
love it.
It is. I mean, it's must see stuff. It's the game. It's the game. You mentioned it. It's amazing. In the same week, we have the game of record in the Golden Triangle, the game of record in Houston, and the game of record in Austin.
Yeah,
it is. And you can make a real argument that, like, this year, the game of the year in the Panhandle and Sunray and Panhandle.
Oh, for sure.
And up there with Sunray and Panhandle,
yeah.
Anyway, fabulous, fabulous game. My third pick, Matthew. Let's go. 7 o'clock, Friday night, at a tiny T90 little baby venue, Allen Eagle Stadium.
Just a couple of sets of bleachers and a small press box.
A little deer blind.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bring out some Chicken Express for you.
Maybe.
Please bring me Chicken Express.
As the 7-0 Allen Eagles welcome in the 6-1 Prosper Eagles. It's Eagle on Eagle violence. And it's time to start talking about both of these teams. Because I think that we haven't talked about either, which is strange for two teams in the top 15.
Yeah, I think Prosper, the loss to Westlake early in the year, kind of
took the starch out.
Took a little starch. Allen, it's been really good, but do they really have a signature win?
That is the real question. And that's, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about Allen.
Let's have a conversation.
Allen's, right now, Allen is lowercase b back. They are lowercase b back because 7-0, 5-0 in district play.
Been pretty dominant too, pretty for the dominant. Most part.
Absolutely, they've been drubbing people. They have beaten teams by an average of 40 points a game.
Yeah,
crushed them.
Have they had a close game yet this year?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Haven't played. The closest game was when they beat Plano, 38-21, 17 point victory.
Mm-hmm.
Cruz. Now, and to be clear, I like a lot of what they bring to the table. Okay, I think that they are a team that quarterback Brady Bricker, I think, has really stepped up. They have a running back, too, whose name is... I can look this up.
Micah Ellis?
I think that's right. According to the Dallas Morning News, our friends there, they've got the stats. I'm going to pull that up. I'm doing great.
Appreciate our friends of the Dallas Morning News.
They've got a couple of them. Lyndon Spriggs is actually their leading rusher, but Jaden Hambrick is great as well. They've got... I think Micah Ellis might be nicked up, or it might be... Yeah. But Brady Bricker's been great.
That's where I think the Allen offense is taking the next step.
Bricker. He's really taken that next step. He's been really strong offensively.
And by the way, their defense has been very good as well. They're giving up just 12 points a game. Best record of teams they've beaten is Prosper Rock Hill, or I'm sorry, McKinney, who's 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Have not exactly run a murderer's row.
No. Midland Legacy's really struggled this year. Midland, mm-hmm. They're two non-district games.
Midland Legacy and Cedar Hill
have both struggled.
I think when they've scheduled them, they're like, we're going to schedule tough.
Yeah.
And it just turns out that like those teams just haven't been what we thought they were going to be. Well, here's Prosper. Prosper has been pushed, has been tested because they lost. They went, they took on Westlake at, it was in Belton.
Yeah, in Mary Harron Baylor.
At Mary Harron Baylor. And they lost, but they hung 35-14, a respectable week one loss. And they figured things out, especially getting back to kind of what makes them great, in my opinion, which is, buddy, let's get behind that big ass offensive line.
Yes, yeah.
And just run the dang ball.
Yeah.
Okay? Jacob Martinez has been terrific, and they have the most, how do I want to put this? The most highly touted offensive line in the state.
Yeah, there's like six division. They have potentially six Division I guys on
the offensive line. Yeah. There's only five positions on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They have six FBS guys. They're crazy up front.
It's funny. I won't mention the kid's name, mm-hmm. but I've heard a story about one of their offensive linemen who basically threw up on another kid because he saw another offensive lineman do it and thought it was cool. That's the kind of mentality that Prosper had. They are mean, nasty offensive
linemen.
They
are bad dudes.
Yeah.
They are bad dudes. They play with a vengeance.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to throw up that kid because I think it's cool.
They've got, probably from a record perspective, they've handed Plano East their only loss of the year.
It's true, V&A.
I don't think Plano East... I think Plano East is fine. I don't think they're anything special. I think that is a team that's 6-1, and you shouldn't apologize for what your record is. But like, also, I think Allen and Prosper are both pretty significantly better than them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that their defense is a little bit underrated, and that I think is the real question here: is can Prosper run the ball against Allen? That's the real thing. Because if they run the ball, it's game on. I don't know they have a great plan B. I'm not sure that they are a team that wants to drop back and throw the ball a ton. You know, their quarterback, Braden Imhoff, has been strong. He's got good numbers. But, like, I think if you were to ask what Prosper wants to be, they want to line the ball up and run them.
Sure. Yeah, that's their personality. That's their strength. They need to play to their strengths, and that's...
This, to me, is kind of, with the exception of week one against Westlake, this is the big test for both these teams. Like, the first real test for both these teams.
Mm-hmm.
We will calibrate where both these teams are. I think I like Allen at home. It's not long ago that they were impossible to beat at home. So, I think that Lee Wigginton's brought a little bit of that swagger back. But it is time. I will say this. If Allen beats Prosper, they are capital B back. Okay? We're going to uppercase that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be capital B back if they beat Prosper.
Absolutely. This will be their signature win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the one. And Prosper's kind of had their number the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So
something to consider.
Yeah.
It's a huge game. Prosper and Allen is my third pick. What's your fourth pick, Matthew?
Glad we got back to the DFW area because we haven't done a DFW game yet.
Yeah, DFW, it's a good week in DFW.
Not great.
Not great.
Yeah.
It's Southeast Texas is where you got to live.
I'm going back to Southeast Texas.
If you take my game, I'm going to throw my coffee at you.
7 o'clock Friday night. At Black Cat Stadium in Bay City.
My delicious community coffee at you.
As one of the state's oldest and the most continuous rivalry in the state, mm-hmm. battle of top 10 teams in 4A Division I as the El Campo Ricebirds at 6-1 take on the Bay City Black Cats at 6-1. First place in 15 4A Division I on the line. And another interesting little nugget about
little
this.
Nug. You got some nugs for me?
Yeah, a little just looking at playoff projections and playoff scenarios and that type of thing. The difference in this game is going to be the winner of this game is on the opposite side of the bracket as Austin LBJ.
Mm-hmm. So you want to save to a regional final.
The loser would get LBJ potentially in the third round. And mm-hmm. also, the other thing is the loser is probably going to play San Antonio Davenport in the second round.
Yes, you don't want to do that.
Much tougher playoff path for the loser of this game. So a lot of implications on the line. Not to mention... It's the 104th straight meeting of these two.
Correct.
It's crazy.
121, what did you say? 120, 100,
104 in a row.
104 in a row. They've played, I have this written down somewhere. This is the 100 and, 21st meeting.
That's crazy. 121 times. So do you know before last year, El Campo had won 16 of the last 17 games in this series?
God.
It dominated. Bay City finally got them last year. Mm-hmm. And I think Bay City is like, let's go two in a row going out here. And this senior class at Bay City has been a class Robert Jones and his coaching staff have been eyeing. They've got experience. Zylan Williams at receiver. Alex Estrada at quarterback. They've got playmakers. Jada Andrews in the backfield. They got playmakers all over the place on offense. This is the year for Bay City. And I thought it was the year, too. And then early in the year, they played Edna. Yeah. And inexplicably, not to say Edna's a bad team, but Edna's a 3A Division I team. Mm-hmm. And Bay City's a 4A Division I. And the last 2 years, Edna has not only beaten Bay City, but beaten them bad. Mm-hmm. And is it just a match? It's weird.
It must be a matchup thing.
It's got to be, because they have just handled Bay City. And so I was like, I'm a little down on Bay City. Then I look at El Campo, and I was like, you know, they're okay. They lost to Brian Rutter. Like,
yeah.
And that loss is aged
exceptionally well.
Well,
yeah.
I think both these teams are really good. And I think both teams are playing well going into this one.
Mm-hmm.
El Campo last week, 66-0 over Floresville. Don't need to say much about this game. Mm-hmm. That is what you expect. Bay City's win last week over Lavernia. That's a good win. Lavernia is mm-hmm. a good ball club.
They are.
Bay City handled them 40-21. Good win. You beat a good Lavernia team by 3 touchdowns. Very, very good. Good win here. I think the key here is the skill talent at Bay City, that experience. A lot of 3-year starters in this Bay City offense. El Campo's much improved. Year two under Travis Reeve, you knew they were going to take a big step forward. I think El Campo is going to be a close game, down to the wire. It's a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. Throw all the cliches, line them up. It's going to be one of those types of games. I just go with the veteran experience at Bay City. This is their year. They're senior heavy. I think El Campo still has another year before they're going to be really, really at that peak mm-hmm. level. So go with Bay City at home with the senior leadership.
The money matchup here is when Bay City has the ball. Mm-hmm. With Ryan Estrada, or Alex Estrada, their quarterback. And when they have the ball going up against this El Campo defense that has been lights out these last 3 weeks. Lights out. Will Rod has led that defense. Been fantastic. I think I'm going to go with El Campo in this one. I think that the name to know here is Camden Phillips, the running back for El Campo. If he can get going and give them some balance offensively, then I think that they're going to be able to ride that running game and defense to a victory. I think that will be the real key here. So I like El Campo in a close one, especially just the trend line is that El Campo has had their number. But, I mean, it's been a minute. I'd love to know the last time these two teams were both ranked when they played. It's probably
a good question, yeah.
Because this feels like it's hard to remember a meeting like this where they were both rolling in the way that they are.
They are.
So yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Because sure. Like Bay City's kind of had some down years. When El Campo was really good with Rick,
Bay City was struggling.
Exactly right. Yeah. They haven't aligned. So this feels really big down there at Bay City. It's a huge,
all
huge game.
The stars are aligned.
And it will be a ludicrous atmosphere, Bay City.
Oh, yeah.
It will be crazy. Speaking of crazy, where do I want to go? See, now we've kind of got, like, that's like, to me, that's all the upper crust games.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got this, like, super, super, super strong, like, next level.
Where are we at the buffet right now?
We're at the bread table.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say we're like at the random pizza table,
yeah,
where
the
there's
pizza,
like, the
table.
Stuff.
Like, let's try the pizza, you know. Let's try. I bet the pizza.
I just had steak and
it's like
and,
full of dopamine.
Yeah, I just had steak and like this really nice chicken dish and
mm-hmm.
and all these elite sides and a baked potato. And who's ready for a slice of pizza?
Yeah, I'll do some pizza. That's fine.
What the hell?
Here's my pizza. Ready? We're going back to the Houston area. Okay.
All right.
I want to make sure I get this time and date right, though, because I believe this is an important game that I want to bring to you. The
live here.
Fair view.
On tape on Friday.
Here on Texas Football Sports. 7 o'clock.
Oh, Guy Sports Center.
Yeah. Or Ribby Paltz there. 7 o'clock.
Hey, man.
Friday night.
Got a great elbow-to-knee ratio.
At Freedom Field in Iowa Colony.
Freedom Field.
Aww.
Bald eagles are screeching over the stadium as you play.
As a matchup of state-ranked squads in the Houston area. Okay. Now, newly state-ranked.
Newly state-ranked,
as the Pearland Oilers visit the Shadow Creek Sharks in a game that will decide the District 22 6A title.
Pretty much.
But things could go haywire, but assuming it was. And if you're looking at... It probably has no playoff implications. Shadow Creek can go D2.
Yeah.
D1.
But remember, 6A, you know, the district finish does have a place, so you want to get that, you know, to guarantee yourself a home game.
Yes. Shadow Creek and Pearland. And this is a, I think, a real styles make fights matchup, because Pearland wants to line it up and hit you with a tire iron in the face over and over and over and play a real high-powered running game. The defense has been fantastic. Or the running game and defense. Jake Westmoreland, their quarterback, has been very good throwing and running the ball.
Throwing and play action.
Yeah, throw.
I mean, BJ Gotza, Gary Joseph,
that's what they're going to do. They're going to run the stinking ball. Well, here's Shadow Creek. Shadow Creek took a loss early and dropped out of our rankings. Who did they lose to?
Summer Creek.
Respect. But they figured it out, and especially... Oh, buddy, let me tell you about that offense. That Shadow Creek offense is rolling right now. Joseph Stewart, their quarterback's been great. They got a Texas commit out wide in Chris Stewart. And I also think that their defense, which kind of got bully balled by Summer Creek earlier this year, their defense has figured things out as well. They got Kobe Sellers. We knew he was going to be
a star. He had a pick six last week.
He's been terrific.
Yeah.
And I think this is a game about who can set the tone in this one. If this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out street fight, Pearland's like, let's effing go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what they want to do, yeah.
But if this is going to be a more wide-open spread, let's get this game into the 30s and 40s game, that's where Shadow Creek wants to live. I think I'm going with... It makes me nervous because I'm going with a lot of ranked teams.
Even though their styles are different, they...
Yeah.
They're very similar in how their seasons have gone.
Yes.
You know, they've lost both, their opener.
Yeah.
They're really good teams. Now, the only difference was Pearland's game was close.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Creek is a blowout. They've won six in a row, but the six in a row haven't, there's really no signature win in that six.
Right. It's all, yeah, exactly right. And so this would be a signature win for either of them.
Correct.
And obviously probably a district championship winner for either of them.
Correct.
I've been going with a lot of road teams, and that makes me tense, but I do like Pearland in this one. I think their defense is going to be able to slow down Shadow Creek enough, and I need to see if Shadow Creek can come up with enough big splash plays defensively to make it stand up. I like Pearland in a close one, but it's another huge game.
Took Shadow Creek. We're split there. I took Shadow Creek. It'll be a great game, though.
Oh, I think so. What is your final pick, Matthew?
One of my favorite parts of the state. We haven't gone out there yet. I'm going to East Texas. 7 o'clock Friday night at Hawk Stadium in Texarkana, as the defending 4A Division II state champion Gilmer Buckeyes at 5-2 and 2-0 in district play take on the Pleasant Grove Hawks, also 5-2, 2-0 in district play. The 7-4A Division I title is on the line, but ironically, the loser of this game actually has the quote-unquote cleaner playoff path.
Because they don't play Carthage till they reach
the fourth round, yeah. Which is what happened last year. Pleasant Grove won the game. Played Carthage in the third round, lost to Carthage. Carthage the next week played Gilmer and lost. So just saying there, you know, not saying that one of the teams is going to try to throw this.
This feels like a real mile marker on the journey for both these teams.
I agree.
Like the development of how these teams.
It's been choppy for both teams.
Yeah. Sure. Choppy's a good word.
Gilmer has looked great. Great win over Brenham. Really nice win there. Nice win over Kilgore, obviously. Also lost to Pine Tree, which is no shame.
Well,
that's aged well. They lost to Pine Tree, and they lost to Chapel Hill in a close game. When Chapel Hill at the time was at you know, blowing and going at full strength. Pleasant Grove also has kind of been a little up and down. The loss to Paris was really the one that really made us go, what's going on with Pleasant Grove?
We knew they were going to be super young.
Correct.
And they are. They've still got, is it Lance Jackson? Is that, which
yes.
Jackson are they?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. It's like 40 of them.
Yeah.
All just like
they're
monsters.
All monster Division I players. Yeah. So the Kilgore loss, Pleasant Grove lost to Kilgore in double overtime. Mm-hmm. The Paris loss, 7-0, was the one. And actually, Pleasant Grove after that game, I think,
and the seven,
made the offensive change.
The 7 was a pick six,
like a 90-yard pick.
Yeah, 90-yard pick six.
Pleasant Grove's opened the offense up a little bit. Like, they're not running the wing tee. They're in a little bit more of a traditional spread look. Traditional, but they're in the spread a little mm-hmm. more. Josh Gibson after that game kind of made some changes in offense, and it's worked out well for him. Last week they roll 56-14 over Longview Spring Hill. Their running back Nick Bell's had a big game, but their quarterback is a baseball player. He's come out and given their offense some balance. Mm-hmm. They've got some good playmakers on the outside.
Pleasant Grove's got a baseball player?
I know, shocking,
what?
Right? Yeah. Crazy.
Hmm.
One of the best baseball programs in East Texas, if you didn't know.
Hmm.
Gilmer, last week the Van game was weird. They go up, they race out to a 28-7 lead on Van, and we're thinking, okay, it's going to be a Gilmer blowout. And then Van, the second half, decides to just play keep away and just like, you know what, we're just not going to let you have the football. And they cut the lead to 28-23 before Gilmer kicked the late field goal and then got a defensive stop to hold off and win the game. Zay Taylor, Trillium Butler had 2 touchdown runs. The McCown kid at quarterback's been, I think, better as the year's gone along. For early in the year, some struggles, learning a new offense. They've still got a lot of playmakers on the outside. Gilmer's loaded with dudes. The defense, I think Gilmer's defense this year has been far superior to where it was. I think they picked up where they left. Gilmer's defense in the playoffs last year finally developed into a good unit. And I think the defense has kept that up this year and played kind of up to their paper.
Uh-huh.
The interesting thing in this one is I think Gilmer has had this one. Pleasant Grove's had their number recently.
Yes.
Pleasant Grove has had Gilmer's number. Since Pleasant Grove's gotten good, it's been pretty much a one-sided series since Pleasant Grove got that first state championship in 2018. I think they got the first one. I think Gilmer on the road gets it done. I trust that offense a little bit more. Pleasant Grove still has a lot of questions, and they're still young. This is a senior-laden Gilmer ball club. State championship pedigree, experience. They're gonna get it rolling, and I think this is the week that Gilmer starts to get to that playoff trajectory.
I think your trajectory. I think you're spot on. I think that's where I was at. It's like, this is, in the end, if we believe that these two teams are relatively evenly matched,
mm-hmm.
one team has a ton of seniors, and the other team has a bunch of underclassmen. And that's just, to me, just going to be a tiebreaker for me. Mm-hmm. Great coaching matchup in this one. There's going to be a chess match involved. There's a universe where this is the first of 2 meetings. You know what I mean?
Sure, it's possible.
But this is a huge, huge game, and it is. I'll just say this, okay? If Pleasant Grove wins this game, mark this. If Pleasant Grove wins this game, y'all are going to be in trouble the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they're real young. And if these babies are going to go out there and knock off the defending state champs,
yeah,
it is time to start sounding some air raid sirens.
Agreed.
Because they're going to be real. Because then they're going to start doing that same thing that Josh Gibson always does, which is we're going to load up with a bunch of underclassmen. Mm-hmm. But this would be, you go back to like when they won that first title. When they won the first title, they were a year ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
This would signal a similar thing. So if you're in East Texas, y'all probably better be rooting for Gilmer if you want your team to, like, because otherwise it's going to be like real big doings going on in Texarkana moving forward. My final pick, Matthew, the 10th and final pick. One place we have not gone this week. The Rio Grande Valley.
It's the 10th pick?
10th pick. Yeah. Okay. That was your pick. That was your 5th pick. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Flies by. There's some picks you haven't taken.
I was ready to pick another game.
What were you going to take?
Creek View and West Mesquite.
I was going to take that too, but I already did DFW game. Shout out Creek View and West Mesquite. Matchup of surprise unbeatens.
Thursday night. Memorial Stadium.
Huge game.
Ishmael Johnson's going to be there.
I like West Mesquite.
I do too.
But I think Carrollton Creek View is the story of the year.
Yeah, the job Dusty Ortiz is probably getting some coach of the year.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I like West Mesquite in that one, but great game. We're going to the Valley. 7:00 Friday night at Bobby Lackey Stadium in Weslaco. If you are a person of a certain age, this game resonates with you in a very heartfelt way as the PSJA Bears visit the Weslaco Panthers in a matchup of old programs in the Valley.
Legacy programs.
These teams have been playing football probably a combined 200 years, okay? These are old programs. And they're both pretty good this year. Mm-hmm. It's a District 31-6A title game. And this Weslaco, what is interesting to me is that I think this is one of those games where, again, stylistically, you can tell me the scoreline and remove the teams, and I can tell you who won it. Mm-hmm. Because for PSJA, we know what they want to do. They want to play defense. Their defense has been spectacular all year long. They've got a number of like, they're very good up front. And they kind of put that alongside what has been a really good passing offense. Normally, you think running game and defense.
No, they want to sling it around.
This is throwing game, passing game and defense.
They want to sling it around.
Miles Lopez?
He's got Division I offer. I think Central Michigan's offer.
He can play, man. Yeah, he's really good. Can play. He's got some playmakers on the outside like Ryan Vallejo. They can sling it around, but their defense has been really their calling card. Mm-hmm. Up against Weslaco, who also has an outstanding quarterback, and Frankie Trevino, who went off last week in their win over Edinburgh North.
He did. I watched a good portion of that game online, just prepping for this, prepping for the preview, and he's a dude.
But what's funny about this game is that even though they both got big-time offenses, I think there's only one team that probably wants to get into a shootout, and it's probably Weslaco. I think PSJA would prefer to win this game like 35-7. And keep. I think they probably got the superior defense, but I think this is the best offense they face this year at Weslaco. Fantastic ball game. It's a really nice week in the Valley. PSJA North plays somebody else.
Weslaco East.
Weslaco East. That's a huge.
I think Weslaco East is undefeated.
Yeah, that's a really, really nice game there.
Or they lost once to Fowler Bluff.
I like Weslaco at home at Bobby Lackey Stadium. I think they come up with the plays to get past them, and I think that they're able to get this thing. I think this could be a high scoring game, and if it's a higher scoring game, I think benefits Weslaco. A lower scoring game benefits PSJA. I think they're able to get the points up, and I think Weslaco wins a good one. So there it is, your week 9 game draft. SEPTA, PNG, Nederland, North Shore, Atascocito, Westlake, Lake Travis, Bay City, El Campo, and Gilmer Pleasant Grove.
Jeez.
I took Hitchcock, Columbus, Sunray Panhandle, Allen Prosper, Pearland, Shadow Creek, and PSJA Weslaco.
When you took Panhandle, Sunray, I was about to take Panhandle. I was going to take Panhandle, Sunray, my pick.
Well, and it's funny because you took Bay City, El Campo. It was a ludicrous week. And by the way, games we didn't mention.
We kind of mentioned Creekview,
Westmeskete. There's, by the way, another matchup of unbeatens under the radar. Lone Oak and Grand Saline is a matchup of unbeatens.
Richland, Alito.
Oh, yeah.
Byron Nelson, Justin Northwest. Wichita Falls Memorial, Lubbock.
That's a great game. I thought about taking that.
You go into Sealy, Madisonville, Tatum, Atlanta, Maypearl and Grandview is all of a sudden a great game. Stephenville, Lampasas.
What's the
Randall and West Plains?
There's people in West Plains. What's their record right now? It's not
4-3.
4-3, but there's people who think they can get Randall.
Their three losses are to Argyle, Liberty Christian, Seminole, and Bushland.
Who's Yeah, it's
Holiday, Wichita Falls, City View. Like, it's crazy.
Mason Holland is a great game. Mason Holland's a fantastic game. It is a ludicrous slate of games. I mean, we didn't mention, Permian and Legacy.
Yeah.
It's like a classic game.
Bushland and Shallow Water.
Another one. I'm sorry.
Lexington.
I hate to keep this, but El Paso Riverside plays El Paso Austin. And that's a huge game in El Paso.
Lufkin, Port Arthur Memorial. Mm-hmm. It's Fort Iowa Colony, Fort Ben Marshall. I mean, Katie Pato.
We didn't even scratch the surface, guys.
No.
We
could have done 35, 40 games.
This is a superb week. Make sure, just go to a game or watch a ton of games on TexanLive.com. All right, Matthew, it's now time for our hipster game of the week. All the games are great, so it's kind of hard to pick a hipster game. Matt Stepp, where are you going for your hipster game of the week?
Let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Bastrop.
Mm-hmm.
As the 5-2 Bastrop Bears, 4-0 in district play, not getting a lot of talk statewide, but Jake Greedle is doing a fantastic job at Bastrop. They're taking on the 3-1 in district, 4-3 overall Elgin Wildcats. Heath Clawson's done a great job there at Elgin. This is a game in 11-5A Division II that's huge. I think at minimum, this is for second place in a home playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
If you think Liberty Hill is going to win the district, which there's, fair, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is the battle for number two. I think this is the game, and the winner gets the prize of a home playoff game. Yes. Elgin's 3-1. They've already got a win over Pflugerville. Here's the thing. Elgin's a good ball club.
Yes, they are.
Pflugerville last week played Liberty Hill, lost by 7.
Mm-hmm.
Elgin beat Pflugerville by 3. So it tells you Pflugerville's a good ball club. Mm-hmm. Elgin's a good ball club. Bastrop has not played. This is the first. Bastrop closes with Elgin, Pflugerville, Liberty Hill. So this is the test. We're starting to get into that three week gauntlet for Bastrop. A win for Bastrop in this game basically guarantees them that they're going to have, almost guarantees them they're going to get the second place spot.
Mm-hmm.
So love this matchup. Love this game. A lot of playoff implications. Two under the radar ball clubs. Keep an eye on this one. I like Bastrop, but it'll be a fun game.
It will be a very fun game. That's a good pick. It's a good pick. All right. Let me find out where this game is. Let's go to, oh my gosh. See, that's a problem with when you do it. They pull all the games together. Let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Barnett Stadium in Houston. Going back to the Houston area. It is a massive, massive district. What district are they in? You're listening to live coverage of me looking up what district they're in. District 10-5A Division I matchup. As the Buffaloes of Houston Milby take on the Raiders of Houston Sterling.
Mm. Big win for Milby last week.
I'm getting there. So Sterling is sitting at 4-1 in district play. District 10-5A Division I's already a mess. Mm. It's already just a joke. Everyone's got at least one loss, and they're just beating up on each other because they're all really tightly packed. And Sterling, bobbing along, got a nice win over Madison, took an open date. Now they're coming back, taking on Milby. I think that their defense has been pretty darn good. Gary Jesse's ball club's been fantastic. But this is more about Milby. Milby, you mentioned, got a really nice win last week. They beat Houston Madison 21-14. It's a gutty win over Madison. They are now 4-2 in district play. After this, they have an open date and they play Springwoods.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stepp, if Milby can beat Sterling this weekend, I think they can. They're going to need a big game from their senior quarterback, Aaron Loomis. If they can, I think they will set themselves up in a really nice spot to grab a playoff spot.
Agree.
And you're thinking, who cares? I'll tell you who cares. The Milby community.
Absolutely.
Do you know the last time Milby made the playoffs?
I know it's been a long time.
V&A, what year were you born?
I was born in 2000.
That's the last time Milby made the playoffs.
Oh my goodness.
They, depending on your birthday's in January. So
4 years ago.
Yeah. They have not made the playoffs in your life. Or yeah, they made it one time in your lifetime. Like that fall when you were zero. That's when Milby made the playoffs. They can snap a long, long playoff drought if they can beat Sterling. I think they're underdogs. Sterling's rolling right now. But if they win this game, they set themselves in a really, really, really good spot with an open date and then Springwoods, which is a team I think they can beat.
Correct.
If they lose this game, all is not lost. The tiebreaker situation here is going to be ludicrous. But keep an eye on this one. Milby and Sterling could have major drought-breaking implications. That's my hipster game of the week, Milby and Sterling. All right, Matthew, let's talk about where we're going.
And I say we.
That's right. You want me to go first?
I can go first. I've got a date on Thursday.
Let's go.
With my producer of High School Scoreboard Live, Patrick Madrowski. Hi, Patrick. By the time you watch this, I will have been to Big Sandy and Wascom, going to Big Sandy America.
First time going to Big Sandy.
I've never been to Big Sandy, the home of Lovie Smith. I'm going to go and watch Wascom and Big Sandy, what should be a good ball game. Big playoff implications in this one. Wascom coming off of, who they beat 2 weeks ago?
They beat Beckville.
Beckville. That was a really big win for them. Real sorting game here in that district. A little 2A action. Where should I eat? Should I just go to Tyler?
Yeah, just go to Stanley.
Go Stanley.
Don't,
I was going to ask you.
Don't overthink this.
I figured that was probably the case, but I want to.
Don't overthink it.
Yes, I'm going to go to Wascom and Big Sandy. I got a hall pass, and I'm going to go out there and watch a little football.
Yeah, big game.
Where are you going?
You should take V&A to Big Sandy on Thursday.
You'll come?
I will check my schedule.
That's a no.
That's a no. Yeah. This is a big week for me.
This is a big week. I am
making my return to the beautiful Sun City.
Mm-hmm.
I will be Mr. 915 this weekend. Well, I'm taking the title from Pickle. Miss 915. I'm Mr. 915 this weekend. Thursday, I will get to visit the new, called the SAC 2, the Socorro Athletic Complex, the new one. So they built, Socorro did the Katy thing where they just built the second stadium right next to the first stadium. So you have two stadiums sharing a parking lot. Brand new stadium. Probably not going to be a super competitive game, but I'm going to check out a new stadium as El Paso Socorro hosts El Paso Pebble Hills.
I think I know how that's going to go.
Yeah, but Pebble Hills, Coach Ryan Warner doing a great job in his first year there at Pebble Hills. Could get a chance to watch a contender there in El Paso. Friday, making my first ever trip to Eastwood as the huge game in 1-6A as El Paso Eastwood hosts El Paso Coronado. Big game. Probably for the final playoff spot in this. Eastwood is really beat up right now. They're struggling. They've had, talked to Julio Lopez last night there at Eastwood. They've had just one of those years where everybody's gotten hurt.
I'll also say this about like Coronado. There was a time when, for a long time, they were the El Paso School of Record.
Sure.
And it still means, they are not what they used to be, but it still means a great deal to beat Coronado. Mm-hmm. And I know it would mean a great deal if Eastwood could get that win. Plus, probably a playoff spot.
Yeah, playoff spot. Coronado's got a freshman. Watch out. West Stansberry. Keep an eye on him. Stud. I'll probably have a little note about him in the Tales from the Road.
Little nugget.
And then Saturday morning, I'm getting on a plane, and I'm going to go to Houston Saturday. Because why not, right?
I'm sick.
Saturday at 1 o'clock, I will be at, I don't know who's calling. I need to check with Jesse and see who's calling. I might jump on the call for this game. On DonaldTexanLive.com, Saturday at 1 o'clock, Cy Woods and Cy Ranch. Two playoff games. Woods is undefeated.
Woods is undefeated.
Cy Ranch, first-year head coach Will Blaylock, doing a great job. They're probably going to be a playoff team as well, so big game there. And Saturday night, probably going to be a lopsided game. Cy Springs is taking on Cy Park, but going to go see my guy, O.G. Fagan. One of the games is at Barry Center. One is at Pridgen.
Okay,
so we'll figure that out. So when I get there, I'll put my credentials in. So I'll look at the app and see where each game is. So a nice four pack this week.
So okay,
and two games in El Paso, two games in Houston. Yeah,
it's like that's sick.
Yeah. I'm going to LNJ. Oh, I'm also going to go visit LNJ on Friday.
I hate you.
And I'm going to go hang out with Scotty Walden on Friday at UTEP.
You?
You'll see Scotty Walden and my guys over at UTEP on Friday.
Sick. Please tell Coach Walden we said hello.
Look, anytime I can visit.
Tep and Step.
I'll tell him Tep and Step says hello. Especially VNA.
Oh, me.
Get him.
Well, yeah. Well, you are Tep and Step.
Are they still doing the board? No, they've got the headsets now. That stinks because we could definitely get the Tep and Step logo on a UTEP like play board if they were.
If you brought me a sticker, we could probably make it work. So
let's go to V&A Moreno and find out what she wrote down.
Hey guys.
Hi, V&A.
I love listening to you guys.
Do you?
I really do.
She lied.
Full of questions. Great questions. I wrote down a couple of things. Some of my favorites, legit certified heaters that will not be drafted.
And it's true. We went through a bunch of them at the end where we were like, they did not get drafted.
I love that.
Yes?
Week nine is the Vegas-style buffet with the all-you-can-eat and grab legs.
It's true. And then you go to like the carving station.
Nonsense. That was the other one. That was like, Tep is going to the carving table.
I'm going to the carving station. I'll see. I'm getting a little prime rib with my pizza.
Your slice of pizza and your, no, here's the ultimate Vegas buffet. You get a prime rib, a slice of pizza, and it's the random piece of chicken. A random piece of fried
like,
chicken.
Yeah, like a chicken breast.
And then
something.
You've got like French fries and like some kind of gourmet. It's just, your stomach.
Chocolate feeling. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Must see TV in the Houston area.
Yep.
I like that one. I'll save this one for last. Oh no, actually no. I think Jeff Joseph's loins.
That's terrible. Gary Joseph's loins.
Oh, Gary Joseph.
Jeff is of Gary's loins.
I want to apologize to America for this episode of the podcast. I think that's gonna do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Step.
Bye.